going to talk long today. I'm going to talk on something that everybody is very familiar with, but I'm going to kind of beat a dead horse on this today, something that you all know. And those that know me good know that I love the Old Testament. And I study the Old Testament because it's the foundation for the New Testament. And a lot of people, I've had people tell me, oh, no, the New Testament explains the Old. No, the Old Testament sets the stage for the New Testament. I've got a question to ask. Show of hands, how many of you this last week read something in the Old Testament? I see a lot of hands that didn't go up. But understanding that that's the foundation, that's where it all starts from, gives us that opportunity to build off of the Old Testament to give us better understanding of the New Testament. I'm going to start with a Bible verse, Genesis 3:21. This is Adam and Eve. You have to remember, Adam and Eve didn't do what God wanted them to do. They sinned against God. They ate from the tree of knowledge. And when they did, their eyes were opened and they were naked. They were always that way before. They just didn't know it because they didn't know sin until then. And the nakedness represented the sin. They were seeing themselves in a different light, a more natural light, where before they were spiritual with God. They were in the spiritual light. And so God had to do something. And it says, and God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin, and he clothed them. So in order to cover the sin, cover the nakedness, God had to kill an animal. He had to bring forth the blood of an animal. And the Bible tells us that blood is the life source. Life comes through the blood in our bodies and throughout any animal. The blood is there. The blood is what moves oxygen. It moves things around. It touches our nerves. Everything is through the blood. But God had to pay for that sin of man through that animal. The skin of the animal is what clothed the nakedness. It covered the sin. On the other hand, the blood forgave the sin through the blood. The blood represents the pain of the sin, paying for it with the blood. And it sets the foundation. And as you can tell, I'm going to be talking about the blood and the sacrifice that goes with it. In, I'm not going to bring this one up, but in Genesis 8:20, Noah leaves the ark. And the first thing he does is build an altar. And he sacrifices animals to God for two reasons. He is worshiping God and saying, this is all yours. And he is also saying, this blood is paying for the past sins of the world. I want to start fresh. I want to start new. I want to start over. So the whole world is getting ready to start over. And the first thing that happens is the blood, the sacrifice. And the animals that were sacrificed were clean. One male of each of the seven pair of clean animals. Everybody said, well, there was just two by two. There was two of everything that's unclean. Clean was seven pair. And it stands to reason that if you'd only had two and he sacrifices a sheep or a lamb, and there was only a male and a female, one of each, then they wouldn't have been able to reproduce. But there were seven because God knew that was going to become a food source for us. And they're clean, which he described later for us. So understanding that the first thing he did was to draw the blood. Again, paying for sins. And what's that? Oh, I'm sorry. And so God had ordained that we were supposed to pay for sin through blood. And not going to read it, but in Genesis 22:1, you have the story of Abraham. We all know the great story of Abraham and how he was 100 years old before he had his son, and he just was so happy he finally had the fulfillment. And God told him, he says, take him. You love him? Yes. You love him more than me? No. Good, prove it. Take him. You're going to sacrifice him. 3-day journey from there where they were, and he's going to sacrifice him. Which that actual spot today is the Temple Mount, where the temple was built, was that same spot. And we know that what happens is that he takes Isaac and he lays him on the altar and he prepares to do what God said and sacrifice his son. And an angel of the Lord comes and says, Abraham, don't touch the boy. And he looks and God provides a sacrificial lamb for him. So his son is not going to be paying for his sins. The sacrificial lamb is trapped in the bush. Oh, right there. Takes that and sacrifices that, the blood again. But who provided it? Who provided it? God provided it. God's the one that gave it to Abraham. But then there was another, and I love these Bible stories, and I am going somewhere with this. I'm not just repeating Bible stories that we should all know. There's another story. This one is Genesis 37:31. And this is about Joseph and his brothers. Probably wondering, where is this coming? Where's the sacrifice coming here? There's no altar being built. There's no. His brothers hated him. Throw him in a pit. And then sell him to slavery. Sinning against their father, and that's their brother. Their blood, that's family, that's it. But yet they're getting rid of them. So what did they do? And it says, they took Joseph's tunic, slaughtered a goatling, and dipped the tunic into blood. There's the blood again. They sacrificed an animal, but they did it not to pay for their sins, but to cover up their sins. That blood they sacrificed was to hide what they had done. They weren't being forgiven for selling their brother. They were covering it up. The same way that our sins were forgiven is what they were doing to hide their sins. God did not intend that the blood of sacrifice be to cover up, but to pay for, to continually pay for the sins. So they were just looking at, hey, how do I hide it? And their father never knew it until many years later, that he was still alive. He believed that his son had been killed by a wild animal. These are examples of what the blood was for. And I'm not going to read it, but we do know the story. And in Exodus 12, the angel of death is about to come over Egypt. And God said, okay, sacrifice a lamb. You all know the story. You sacrifice a lamb on the doorpost and windows. You take the blood of that lamb and you put it over it as a covering to come across it. And the angel of death passed over the house of Israel. But the firstborn of Egypt all died, including the Pharaoh's son, until they were finally released. But there again was the blood. The blood of the lamb is what had to be sacrificed to cover and pay for the sins of man. Not a cover up, even though the windows were covered as a symbol of don't touch this house, it was setting the foundation for the blood. The important part was the blood and the sacrifice that went with it. And a little bit off of the subject there, when they would sacrifice a lamb or whatever on for paying for their sins, they didn't just burn it up. They said, well, it was burnt offerings. It was the fat. It was the skin. That's what was burnt. The meat was eaten. It didn't go to waste. It was food and it was eaten. And that's why some of the priests and stuff had always received the best of that sacrifice. They ate a lot of meat for a lot of sacrifices. But then, so the angel of death came again. That was that lamb that came. The sacrifice. And then after they had left Egypt and Moses went and got the Ten Commandments, and then got the 613 laws, the Ten Commandments broken down into details. And then in there, in Leviticus and Numbers, God tells you, okay, this is what you have to do. This is what he was telling Egypt, or Israel. He's telling Israel, this is what you have to do to pay for a sin. Okay, if you stole from your brother, you have to give back. But the sin, you're making that whole. You're giving back tenfold of what you took. But you have to pay for the sin. And it has to be paid for in blood. So to make up for that sin, you have to kill four turtle doves. You take them in and you offer them as sacrifice, and these four turtle doves will be killed and their blood scattered across the altar. Or you stole something, or you committed adultery or broke all, you had a certain atonement that had to be paid in blood to have God forgive you. Israel, the state of Israel and Jews, just celebrated Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And what they do is they will gather together. It's one of their most important holidays. They gather together and they sacrifice of sorts. Today they don't sacrifice the animals, but they will when they get their red heifer back, though, which they're working on rebuilding the temple. When the temple's rebuilt, they will go back to sacrifice on Yom Kippur every year. So what it is and what it was, it was the Day of Atonement where they atoned for the entire nation, not just individual sins, but as a people, as a nation, everything. They have, and they still do today, where they have the one day a year that they're praying for forgiveness. And I know, I believe I've told this before, but in 70 years before the destruction of the temple is when this happened, but they would hang a scarlet cloth from the highest point of the temple. And then they would have two goats. One goat was taken in and was sacrificed at the altar, and their blood poured over the altar. The other one was taken out of the city and chased. People would chase it, and they would run it until they ran it off a cliff, and it would go down, boom. That's where the term scapegoat came from. He was representing the sins that were being chased away from Israel. And then they would know that that goat had gone off the cliff because that scarlet cloth would turn bright white. It was no longer scarlet. It was pure. And it was God's way of saying, I'm forgiving you. I'm forgiving you. But then 70 years before the destruction of the temple, it stopped. It stayed red. It never changed back to white. And the nation of Israel has believed then, as they still do, that they lost favor with God, that he wasn't willing to forgive them right now, that he would, but not right now. They didn't understand why. What happened 70 years before the destruction of the temple? A man called Jesus happened to come along. And there was the atonement. They just never realized it. He was the atonement. It couldn't turn white because it was already white. They just didn't realize it. That, you know, going through the Old Testament, all this blood sacrifice is the foundation for the New Testament. Like I said before, the Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament. So then we come to, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of these Gospels talk about one particular night where Jesus tells his disciples, go make ready. We got a holiday, go make ready. And they go to the upper room and they prepare a meal. They have it all set, this beautiful meal that they're going to have. And it's a celebration of Passover. And it's amazing to me how many Christians even that never realized that the Last Supper is the Passover feast. And all of the things that were going on were very symbolic and very important. And so what happened was they had their meal, and then Jesus got ready to give the bread and the wine, and we're going to be taking communion here in just a couple minutes. Like I said, I wasn't going to speak long because this is a subject that we should all be very familiar with. And in that, he followed all of the tradition. Jesus didn't waver. He didn't say, well, that's different now that I'm here. No, he's showing fulfillment from the old to the new. He brought forth the fulfillment of the blood and the importance of the blood. He gave, when he said, you know, drink, this is my blood shed for you, was a symbolic representation of what was about to transpire when Jesus was about to be taken prisoner and was about to be executed and pay for our sins. And understanding that and why. But the biggest question that I'm trying to bring with this is, how often do we think about it? I'm guilty myself. A lot of times, I just take for granted. I'm covered by the blood. It's all right, I'm covered by the blood. Wait a minute. Think about it more. Put your heart into it. I'm covered by the blood, but my God had to suffer and die for me, for that blood daily, pouring down on me daily. That blood is continue cleansing, keeping me clean. It's not there to cover up our sins. It's there for the forgiveness and the atonement for our sins. But yet there's a lot of people that use it to cover up their sin. Well, I go to church on Sunday. I take communion. I'm a good guy on Sunday. Monday, I'm over there by the water cooler telling dirty jokes. I'm over there smoking dope when nobody sees it. I'm out there eyeballing them women. I'm out there cheating on my income tax. But I'm covered. I don't have to worry. I'm covered by the blood. Or am I covering up with the blood? it's an important thing that we need to be looking at is every day, all the time, that sacrifice that Jesus paid for our sins, that he gave up freely for us, we cannot take for granted. We cannot use it as a covering for sin. Bruce just talked the other day, a week or so ago, about how God will give you your desires. He's going to give you your desires. But if you're truly covered by the blood, truly accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are truly changing. We become a new creature. And guess what? That new creature doesn't want that new Cadillac. That new creature doesn't worry about, I'm going to win the lottery. God said I can have what I want. I want the lottery. That don't matter anymore. As we're changing because of the blood, because of the forgiveness that God gave us through sacrificing his son. Just like Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac. Only thing is, God did it. He did sacrifice his son to pay for our sins and cleansing and poured out that blood. You know, when they stuck Jesus on the side with the spear and only water came out, you know why? Because there was no more blood. Every ounce, every drop of blood in Jesus' body, the life-giving blood, was drained. It was all gone so that we could have everlasting life, so that we would not have to atone ourselves for those sins. Imagine what it is like for those that don't accept Christ when they stand before the Lord and have to atone for all their sins. Everything they've ever done, there's no covering. There's no atonement. Nothing. They're stuck with those sins. But our job is to let them know that a drop of Jesus' blood can change their entire life. Completely and totally change it. Purify it. You know, our brother Rich Gray just passed away here a couple weeks, actually 2 weeks today. And I was up with him at the hospital before, a couple days before he passed away. And he was telling me, he says, you know, if I get a chance, I want to mentor some of the younger people, the younger men in the church. I'd like to talk to them and let them know what the difference is in the blood. He said, man, I could start telling them things that I did when I wasn't saved. He says, I didn't even like me. He said, so any chance you can, you tell those young men, the blood will help to cleanse. Loving God, following him, and that blood, that sacrifice was pure. And he said, he told me, he says, I was one of the worst ever. And God changed me. He was still argumentative. Him and I used to get into it all the time. We loved it. We'd get into debates and get going. But there it was, things of the Lord that he wanted to debate on and talk on. It changed his entire life. Took him from, like he said, one of the worst people you ever wanted to know, and changed him completely. So that's our goal. That's our purpose. My challenge to you now is Are you using the blood for atonement? Or are you using the blood for a covering? I think it's important that we understand that.